That was the Fixtures with this week's Spotlight Sound, No Sail, from their 1999 release, One Crisis Short of Chaos. And you're tuned to the Weekly Freak Show. Please stay tuned for contact information at the end of this half-hour broadcast. With more on the shutdown of Free Radio Austin, I spoke with Reckless, a co-founder of the station, for her reaction to Monday's raid.
Well, we've been on the air since April 18th of 1999. Since that time, we've had the joy of providing lots of critical and truthful community information that the mainstream, you know, obviously doesn't get out. We've been supporting a lot of the grassroots movements, and in return, they've been supporting us quite heavily while we've gone through our trials and tribulations. Last month, you know, we were greeted by a U.S. Marshal, an FCC agent, an unnamed person, which we assume is FBI, since he's from Austin, and there is no FCC office in Austin, and he would not, you know, identify himself. And they only had two APD there. Well, about 50 people or so gathered around while they were stealing our equipment and loading it up into a U-Haul. And so this time when they came to bust us, because we went back up on the air, you know, 74 hours later, they came by today to bust us. They had about 12 cops there.
12 Austin police officers.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually it's interesting, one of the constables that's running in this precinct said it's a shame that the Austin Police Department should be ashamed for having anything to do with this, since we broke no local or state laws whatsoever. And basically the sheriff of the county, if she wanted to, could basically kick the feds out anytime she wanted, but we haven't really had a chance to talk to her about that, and it's probably too politically motivated for her to do that.
So let's talk about what happened this morning. A programmer was in there at around noon doing a talk radio show, and I was told that the man, a guy named John, who lives at the house where the station was operating from, was also nearby doing some work.
Yeah, he was fixing some stuff.
And so what happened from that point?
Well, John saw the guys entering the yard and gave Till the look to lock up, so Till locked the door. The FCC knocked on the door, said, you know, that we're the FCC. Till asked them if they had a search warrant. They said that they did. Till requested to see it, and they refused to pass it through the door. So Till didn't open up the door, and they continued to bang on the door. They went around to the window, which we were hoping to have iron bars up on, but did not, obviously, because they broke the window and came in that way to gain entry into the studio, scaring the shit out of Till, and just started to remove all of our equipment. And they had three copies of the warrant, one for me.
One for you, with your name.
I'm now a plaintiff in the case. One for John, he is now a plaintiff in a case. And one for any and all John and Mary Doe's operating equipment at 97.1 megahertz. Yeah, I know.
This is tragic.
Now, the last time, all they had was an arrest warrant for the property. This time, they've made, you know, a case out of it. So, you know, tomorrow I'm going to have to go talk to the lawyer. I talked to him today, and because Lloyd Perry hit one of our programmers with his vehicle, there was a lot of people trying to keep the vehicle from going, and cops were just pulling people out of the road, saying they're blocking traffic, and, you know, when in fact they're protesting the fact that their community radio station, something that they love and care about very deeply, is being taken away. They just started arresting people. Well, actually, they only arrested Micah. And then one of the photojournalists from the Chronicle got hit in the head with a flashlight.
What?
A few people got hit. They
with
were on their
flashlight?
Bike.
Flashlight?
Yeah. Right in the head. A few other people's bikes got hit by the FCC car. Another woman, he ran over Eric's foot, and he actually hit this other woman who had to be taken away in an ambulance. And I'm really, really upset. I've been crying all day because this is a nonviolent movement. And when people start getting hurt over this, it is just really upsetting.
What kind of injuries did she sustain?
I'm not sure. I don't know if she broke anything, or she was in shock when I saw her, so I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. We got the bail for the person that got arrested. And
somebody got arrested. Talk about that. What happened? What are their charges?
Her charges are blocking the roadway and failure to obey a lawful order.
And she's still in jail?
As far as I know, she has jail support down there right now. And we passed the hat to get her bail money. And I'm pretty sure we got her bail money together, so she should get out tonight. And she said, you know, that they weren't being extremely rude or anything, because actually, the Austin Police Department, on the whole, I would say, is actually more supportive of us than not. And the cops that were there today, you know, are just doing their jobs.
Oh,
and
my.
When people get rowdy, you know how cops are, man. They're trained to react to anybody getting rowdy, and they get rowdier right back. So, you know, they brought it to a level that it didn't need to go to, and that's what's so extremely upsetting.
Now, when you say people got rowdy, what do you mean by that? They were blocking a vehicle. That doesn't
Well, they blocked
seem rowdy.
The vehicle. They weren't really being rowdy then. I mean, they were sitting on the ground. But before
people actually
that,
sat in front of the vehicle.
We were yelling epithets at them. We were telling them that they're fascists and that they have no legal right to do this. And why are they doing this? And how can they sleep at night? And don't they understand that this is what's exactly outlined by the 1934 Communications Act, which they use to, you know, they use it when it's convenient for them, but they don't, you know, say the whole thing. So that's what I mean by rowdy. People were just being loud. They weren't really being rowdy, I guess. They were just being vocal.
Hmm. Now, you guys just came back on the air, like you said, about 78 hours after the bust in October. How much equipment did the FCC get away with today?
We decided not to put our best equipment out in fear that they would be back within 2 or 3 weeks. We passed the 3 week time, and we were starting to kind of put a little bit more equipment in there slowly. And they got away with, I couldn't believe it, man. They took the pole, which is like a 70-foot pole, the antenna, which is about a 6-foot antenna on top of the 70-foot pole, CD player, 2 turntables, our crossfader, our mixing board, and the transmitter that they took was actually only a 40 watt with a pretty meager power supply, because we were kind of, you know, bare bones in it.
Right. So what's the general feeling amongst the programmers at this point? Have you all had a chance to meet and talk about what happened this afternoon?
We haven't really had a chance to meet, but there was, half of us were there. It's interesting, the neighborhood that we were in, a lot of programmers live in that neighborhood, and so there was, you know, 50 or 60 of us were down there.
Wow.
But the general feeling that I got was just that people were upset. We really don't know what to do. We really don't know what the legal implications are going to be. And we are having our meeting tomorrow, which the media is, like, dying to get to, and we're telling them that they're not allowed to come to our meetings, and they're not happy about that. But, and actually, somebody from the Austin American Real Estatesman was here earlier. She just wanted to look over the paperwork and see what was going on with that, and I told her how incredibly upset I was at the last article that she wrote about us. And she didn't take that too well.
Now, in these documents you received this afternoon, you mentioned that your name and another person, John, is named as a plaintiff in a case. What exactly, could you expound on that a bit?
I haven't really actually even had a chance to look over all of the paperwork. I looked over it quickly, and it's basically, some of it's the same thing that, you know, ex parte motions, and sometime this week I'm going to be able to sit down with the lawyer, and he's going to decipher all the legalese for me, but basically before, it just had an arrest warrant for the equipment, and I don't even know how they've, I mean, I guess the only reason they tied my name to it at this different location is because they know I'm an organizer. There's really no way for them to tie me to the station other than the fact that I came down there.
Is there has there been issued a court date at this time? I know Mabana Kantaka, when he was raided, also received documents, and he was ordered to be in court almost a week after they raided his home, and they basically, the judge basically approved the action. It was just a formal, you know. Just
when I talked to the lawyer, he said, you know, all the laws are very supportive of the federal government.
Right.
So it's not an easy case, even. I mean, Jim Simons, our lawyer, has been doing this kind of stuff for 40 years. He's deposed COINTELPRO agents before. He has told me that he has a personal commitment to the micro-radio movement and to this case, at least to the Kind Radio case, and if at some point it's advantageous to the Kind Radio case, that he would bring us on as part of that case. But for right now, I'm pretty sure that there's an injunction against us from broadcasting. So whether we'll change frequencies, change names, I don't know. You know, I don't know what we're going to do. We haven't really had a chance to meet, but I'm assuming that something along that nature is going to happen. I don't know.
Now, tomorrow, we're speaking on Monday. This is live at 4 p.m. here in California on November 6th. It's one day, less than 24 hours away before Americans go to the polls. Austin is the capital of the state of Texas, and the governor of Texas, obviously George W. Bush, is the Republican candidate for president this year. Do you see these two incidents as any way tied in?
That's an interesting question, because if anybody heard the KPFA news report that was done by Kelia, and I'd like to say she did a wonderful job, and I appreciated all her hard work doing that. She tied in the fact that these radio stations got busted prior to the Fortune 500. I, at that time, thought that it basically could have been as easy as a phone call. Hey, you know, we're having these rich guys come in town to, you know, to basically corporatize Austin and sell Austin to the corporations, and maybe we don't want to have these radicals on the air during that time. As far as being the day before elections, I personally, I don't know. I mean, I would just say it's coincidence. It's almost exactly a month after we got busted before. I think they were just acting quickly. I think they just, you know, they want us off the air, period.
Right.
You know, as far as the timing of the bust, I have no, you know, no evidence to support that claim whatsoever.
Wow. This is all a lot to take in.
Yeah, it's a coincidence. Yeah, I'm mostly upset about the girl that got hit by the car, because that, you know, they've taken it to a level where they're really going to need to watch their ass. And that's not a threat.
Well, Reckless, unfortunately, the next programmer's here, so I have to offer you this opportunity to close on any final thoughts.
Hey, just keep doing what you're doing, man. I mean, obviously, we're doing something right.
Yeah.
If they're busting us, arresting us, you know, Martin Luther King had to go through a lot before he got shot. So, you know, we need to just keep pushing the envelope, because if we don't, it's going to be theirs and they're going to win. You know, so just by trying and just by being there, we are winning. Regardless of the fact that we get busted, I feel like we're still winning, because we're obviously doing something right. So just keep doing it, and I think the best thing that people that are interested, for people that are interested in, you know, furthering this movement, the best thing to do is get with the techies and start building transmitters like crazy. And, you know, we realize we're not the only voice in Austin. We've had lots of other people come up to us and ask for help on how to set up a community station. And I think that's really important, that everybody in each community has something like this. And in fact, that is what is clearly outlined by the 1934 Communications Act. So we need to keep doing it regardless of whatever little crumbs they're going to give us.
And that's all the time we have for this week's program. Thank you for listening. The Weekly Freak Show is produced live in the studios of 96.3 FM, Freak Radio in Santa Cruz, California, and can also be heard in Dade City, Florida, on Micropower 102.9 FM, and on the internet at www.parumpradio.com. The Weekly Freak Show can be reached at P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That address, once again, is P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Or send email to frsc@microradio.net. That's frsc@microradio.net. And don't forget, you can always listen to the many fine programs on Freak Radio by pointing your browser to www.microradio.net/frsc. That's www.microradio.net/frsc. Our theme music was composed and performed by Neil Norman and his Cosmic Orchestra for Skidmark Bob and everyone at Freak Radio. My name's the V-Man, and that's a wrap.